Acts chapter 4, verse 13. We are trying to catch up to this story. The day of Pentecost occurred. The Holy Spirit was poured out like a mighty rushing wind. And then the apostles were praying at a time of prayer. They kept going to the temple at the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the time of the evening sacrifice. And on this particular day, as Peter and John arrived at the temple, they were carrying a man who was an invalid or who was disabled, who was lame from birth. And they encountered each other at that time. He asked for some money. Did I say that right? Money. And some alms for the poor. And Peter and John said, "Look at us. We don't have any silver or gold, but what we have we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we say, rise and walk." He got up and he walked, kind of like Landon, his new shoes, just walking around, enjoying life, and right, enjoying. This guy didn't get new shoes. He got new ankles and feet, right? New blessing. He didn't even require the surgery. I know some people here, I'm not going to point them out, have got new knees, but it is not like that. The recovery time was instantaneous. He was jumping and leaping and praising God and running through the temple. A good event. So you would think that would be good news, wouldn't you? Somebody was healed in town. And of course, no good deed goes unpunished, almost Murphy's Law, correct? So what happens? They are arrested in the early part of chapter 4, and now we're down to verse 13, and they were brought before the council there in Jerusalem, and there they begin to find out who each other are. Does that make sense? In a court of law, isn't there some jousting that happens in there? Have you ever been to a court? Have you ever been to, I don't know if you've ever been to a court or not. There's a little bit of one speaks, the other one speaks, and there's a little bit of jousting that happens in there, isn't there? A couple of attorneys and gone. So, all right. So they're there in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. We pick this up as they go through this event. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name.' So they called them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard.' So when they further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed." Well, the boldness of Peter and John was evident. They saw that boldness, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled, and they realized they'd been with Jesus. Jesus has a way of bringing everybody up. He has a way of blessing everybody. I don't care what your educational background, your social, economical status is. I don't care what you check when you fill out a form. Married, single, it doesn't matter. The Lord is able to help you. He is able to bless you. He will give you an upgrade or an overhaul. Aren't you glad for that? Your whole life, He'll fix it. It's not just a little thing. It's a big deal. It's an extreme makeover from the inside out. The words of Peter and John demanded the captors' attention. They arrested them, brought them in, a serious issue, serious evidence of a great miracle. And it was a conflict in their minds. How do we punish people for doing good? Do you ever have to worry about how to, Sanja, do you ever have to worry about how to discipline your kids when they're being good? Do you ever have to figure out, how do I reward these guys? You've just been so good. You got, I come home and look at you. The house is clean. Your homework is done. Everything is, look at the spot on the table set. Food just the way we love it. I don't know what to do with you kids. That'd be a good problem to have, wouldn't it? I gave you a recommendation, Matthew. Surprise your mom. You're just like, what? He's like, Pastor, we're not going to do that. You talk without moving your lips, right? Yeah, that's not what's happening. But that's why they were arrested for doing an amazing thing. And now they're trying to figure out, how do we punish these guys for healing a lame man? And they were stuck. What if? They're probably going through that what if thing. What if Peter and John could help others? And what if we as the leaders in the community of Jerusalem are sending good fortune away? What if we find out Peter and John are healing people over there? Our people are going to get mad at us. Hey, why didn't you keep them here? If you find a good doctor, don't you share that information with somebody? When you find a good hospital, don't you tell people this is a way? If they're working, we've heard some places where people are hiring. I think that's information we ought to hand out in our economy. That there's a place, if they're giving away cars, wouldn't you want to know it? As long as they're running, right? Yeah, you still need to look a gift horse in the mouth, don't you? Anybody know what that's about? There are white elephant gifts, aren't there? There are gifts that people give to you that cost more than they're worth. Right? All right, let's keep going. They saw the man, he was standing right there. The man that they had healed was standing right there. They could say nothing against that deed. And it was very hard for these men to figure out the best way to punish people for doing good. How do we keep them from doing more good because we're not in charge? You know you're not in charge, right? You know this is not my church. You know I'm not in charge, right? This is the Lord's church. We all have a responsibility, and I'm glad you are here today to hear these words, because these folks in this council were thinking they had to not just control everything, they have to control God too. That's not why we're here. We are here to be moved by him. We are here to be his ambassadors. These guys told him to go out. We want to look at this. For me, this is a part of that whole thing, how the world deals with things. It's problem solving. It's setting goals. It was a collaborative thing. They had people in the room who didn't even like each other. Sadducees and Pharisees, scribes, and all these guys are in this room. They didn't like each other, but they had a common enemy. So they're figuring out, how do we deal with these people? So they had a council meeting. Looks like these guys were doing some problem solving. The miracle was a problem now because they wanted to keep the good news quiet. This world has been trying to squelch. That word is just not coming out at all today. They wanted to put down the word of God so that nobody hears it. They wanted to put the light under a basket. They're in a basket with a lid on it. They wanted to keep the good news quiet. Whew. Said that right. All right. And they wanted to forbid teaching in Jesus' name. But there's a problem with that, because they understood that the grace of God is sufficient for your day. In my strength, the Lord says, is made perfect in weakness. So we rejoice in our infirmities, so that God can be glorified by them. We want the power of Christ to rest upon us. So from this day, and even sometimes clear till today, they want to quench this good news, and so people have been threatened. You ever hear that? People are threatened not to tell the good news, right? Even to the point where we don't even want kids to pray at school. I'm glad I want kids to pray at school, even if they're homeschooled. You'll get that later, right? Homeschooled means you pray at home. Okay, but I know there are children praying in school, and I know that they are taking the good news with them, and I know they're teaching good reports. I think our children, our teenagers, are encouraging a lot of people, and they bring in their friends because they too get to tell what they have seen and what they have heard. Even Landon's a pretty good preacher. He doesn't even talk yet, and he already invites people to church. Told somebody the other day when I showed him a picture of Landon, I said, hey, this kid right here has brought people to church and he can't even talk. He's one of our best evangelists in the church. He talks, he does this little thing with his dad. His dad tells him what he's, here's my little miracle. I heard you do that walking through the diner. You want to meet a miracle? Here's one right here. You're supposed to be at the diner. You're not supposed to be preaching. No, he's just telling what he's seen and what he's heard. Does that make sense? And I know others are sharing the good news. That's not the only miracle in the room. I'm just picking on him because Landon's not here, and I don't want him to get a big head. I don't want him to get big feet either, though he got new shoes. I remember there was a time I was trying to fill the shoes I was wearing because they used to be my brother's. Let me keep going. That'll catch up to you. The good news was they would receive power. They were threatening them not to talk about Jesus, but Jesus told them to preach, to teach, to tell the good news. And when I ask you to be his witness, it's not something new. It's the same thing Jesus asked his apostles, his disciples to do. Share the good news. For the council, there was three real simple steps for them to be successful. Number one, don't let them teach about Jesus. Get rid of that name. But the problem was Jesus told them to go and teach the word. They threatened them with pain and additional punishment. They had already flexed their muscles. They'd already arrested them. They already brought them into the council. They're already right there in their space and in their face. And then they dismissed them. But they had already heard the word of the Lord speaking to them. So here Peter responds in boldness. Peter and John said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. Do you understand? The wording on that is really not a question, because they'd already come to the conclusion they have already determined to do what the Lord asked them to do. You're going to have to judge. You judge. Watch what we do. You judge. Go ahead. You have that responsibility. You judge. They treated him with courtesy. They were wise in how they spoke to him. They were honest and they told him the whole truth. And they transformed that place where they stood and made that a place of witness for Christ too. So they were witnessing on the streets, they were witnessing in the temple, and now they're witnessing in the council room itself. See how God opened the door and they said, well, I'm glad you brought me here. Yeah, we want to talk to you about teaching in that name of Jesus. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Let me tell you, Jesus, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, he allowed this. It was in his name this man stands here walking today. And you know what I know? What I recognize? That each of you stand here because Jesus is the Christ. You are only here walking and breathing and living because Jesus is Lord. And we testify who he is. And I know he's helping you. Many, many opportunities and blessings that are right here in the middle of this room. And we still testify Christ was crucified. And I'm glad to report to you that the same Holy Spirit who helped these guys in that trial will help you on this trial. You want to know how to talk to the people you got to get the results you need to talk to? Let God talk to them with you. Ask the Lord, how am I supposed to get their attention? Seems like I'm on trial here for doing something right. I'm supposed to do it this way. You tell me to do it this way, and it's only this way because you told me to do it this way, and it's only wrong because I did what you told me to do. We've been there, haven't we? Frustrating times and sequence. But I'm here to tell you, miracles are part of our journey. Miracles are a part of our journey of faith. So you need to be strong and of good courage and allow the Lord to deal with your enemies, because oftentimes you'll find out that his enemies become your enemies because you're serving him. And the devil's a liar. That's the best tool he has in his arsenal. So the effects of courage will be amazing. You'll wonder how it is possible with no visible means of support, no army, no government, no resources, but you are born of the Spirit, so you are empowered to be a witness. You don't have to have visible means of support because Christ is with you. We can trust in God. We can speak the truth. And we begin to find out that walking with Christ is a privilege. It is filled with great power. And Christ is helpful in our time of trouble. And he will bless us in each opportunity to reveal his will to be done. Spirit will help you. 1 John writes it like this. 1 John 4:15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So guess who's with you on your trials? Guess who's with you? When they arrest you, they arrest him. They don't even know it's part of you. He is part of you. We get that privilege of being filled with power and helpful in the time of trouble. So what did they do? Threatened them again. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. God reveals his power in the lives of people. I believe he's revealing his power through your life. Helping the diseased and instructing those who do not know about Christ is our calling. I don't think this council knew what they were asking the apostles to do. The council was asking them to stop the two things that they were asked to do. Heal those who are infirmed and instruct those or make disciples. Watch and pray, because the world has got to decide what to do with us. But on our journey of faith, I'm going to ask you to do those two things. Number one, listen to God and let these apostles encourage you. Even when the times are tough or the challenges, even in the midst of a trial, let God speak for you. A living voice for Christ is all we can be. So speak what you hear. Speak what you see. The world will be amazed by that. It'll be a valuable testimony. And even when Landon can't tell his story, ask Michael. He will tell you. If that story is not amazing enough, we can tell you other stories. We can tell you about just the stories that keep going, how I am encouraged time after time after time, just being in church. Glad Judy's here today. I know the Lord's done a great work in her. Ask her what God did for her. Ask Ginger. I mean, there's a list of people we could say. We could talk to many. I'm almost convinced you could talk to everybody here and they would have to tell you an amazing story of what you've seen and heard God accomplish in your life. So that's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what he has seen, or what I have seen and what I have heard. And it's really hard to keep quiet because of what I've seen and what I've heard. I'm encouraged when I'm here, when I see you here. A lot of the stories I know. I don't know everything, but I'm just like, we're winning. How do I know that? Because you're here. Because I know what the devil did to keep you away. Right? Yeah, and what's kind of fun is when I ask for prayer requests, I got one permanent, well, it's not permanent, it's still temporary. But really, it's not, because God's at work. Yeah, and even in the middle of the storms, right? And my hope is that I get to help Landon continue to tell the story of God's grace, and you get to tell your story of God's grace until the whole world hears it and believes it. Because there's enough of the power of God in the lives of the people that are here today to transform the county, and the scripture says the whole world, if we just tell what we've seen and heard. And time doesn't permit me to tell you everything I know about what I've seen and heard, and you've seen and heard even more. Multiply what I've seen by what you've seen and heard in each person. You see the exponential multiplication of that? Yeah, so tell the story. Just tell what you've seen and heard. That will lift up the name of Jesus, won't it? So let me pray for you that you'll be able to do that. Live in grace and love and forgiveness, and share this story with the world until all may believe. Father, thank you for allowing us to get together today. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, for this story that allows us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to teach about the power of the Holy Spirit to transform a life, to give us the strength that we need to forgive, that gives us the power that we need to love even our enemies. And so I say thank you for allowing us to look at this story, that in the midst of a trial, that we can honor you by offering praise by the good news of what we've seen and heard. So thank you for this message, for this messenger, most of all for your Spirit who applies this truth to the hearts and minds of those who have assembled here today. Before I say the final amen, is there someone I could pray for? Anyone, just raise your hand, say, Pastor, be praying here. God bless you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Thank you. God bless you. If anyone wants to join me at the altar so I might pray for you before we go, these altars are open. It would be a fitting way for us to close this service as we gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of telling this story of mercy, love, and grace. And thank you for reminding me that I too have been healed so that I might enter the house of God and walk and talk about your healing in my life. Thank you for the demonstration of the forgiveness of sin. And because your power, we can share this hope with all who might come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.